Hello, and welcome back to what was a unplanned small hiatus to the Power Suit podcast, everyone. We took a little, not a purposeful break. We just were very, very busy. And now we're here to talk all about it. So, yeah, welcome back. I am joined, as always, by Katie Kay, who may or may not be Tom Brady's most recent girlfriend.
Definitely am. You're going to have to keep listening to know.
You heard it here first, exclusive breaking news, at least to all of the luxury stores and high-end restaurants in the city of Paris. Yes. Katie is now known as Tom Brady's most recent secretive girlfriend. So
yeah.
How does that feel? How does it feel to be dating Tom Brady?
It felt really good when we were getting into everything we needed to get into. But then I also love Giselle. So it's like, I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah, I think I would just be like, sorry, Giselle. Love you. Sorry for you. Sorry. I don't know what to say. Sorry, I love you, but we're not actually friends. I don't actually know you. So I'm going to go with Tom on this one.
It worked, though. The point is, it worked.
It worked. So if you didn't know, Katie and I were just in Paris. We were there for an event. Katie is never coming home, apparently, and she stayed in Paris for a few days longer. Now you are in London.
Okay.
London.
Yeah.
I am home. I am back in the States. And Kate, well, I say Katie's never coming home. I guess Katie maybe is never coming back to one of her many homes, because you are originally from the UK. So you're choosing to stay there forever.
I just stopped over the pond. Came and saw one of my clients that me and Francie are also partnered with. So we're in the factory today. So I got to see all the Liane suits.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
So all the suits, all the camis. I highly doubt our cami salesperson people
yeah,
listen to the podcast. But if they do listen to our podcast, we're calling you guys out, because I saw all the camis. Saw photos of all the camis. They are not being packaged to be sold. So our cami salespeople, you know who you are. You need to step it up.
Step it up.
So I did want to start, because we started off talking about you being Tom Brady's girlfriend. And, we're joking about it. Or are we?
Maybe Tom's in London.
You can do the Jeffree Star, where you post like the photo of the football player from the back, and it's like, ooh, who am I with? Like, because it's like, oh, his NFL team didn't make it to the Super Bowl, and then people can speculate like, who is it? And then it's not even a football player. So is Katie dating Tom Brady? To be determined. We will find this out. But I do want to talk about how funny it is, like, when you leverage branding and like credibility and like branding by association, because we also did it when we were in Paris. JT had met Messi while we were there. We used that photo almost everywhere to get into restaurants and stuff like that. Obviously we didn't use that photo, and I wasn't Tom Brady's girlfriend, but when we went shopping in the store that I wanted to go shopping in, JT speaks French, so obviously that helps. And he was like saying a whole bunch of stuff about me. So then the salespeople were obviously a lot nicer than when we originally walked in the store, because we did look like drowned rats because we had just been rained and hailed on. Paris was like bizarre. It was sunny one moment, then it was raining and hailing the next moment, and then 3 minutes later it was sunny again. It was wild. It was freezing.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be home, but just how much that branding by association really does work and gives you that level of credibility. And especially when you're overseas like that, like, people just don't even, like, they don't know.
No, they don't know. And they just associate celebrity with your level of importance. So we had for us, it was getting into a store. There was a massive line, and we had some people with us, and they just walked in and, showed some pictures, said this is who she is, and just told me to keep wearing my sunglasses and walk in with resting bee face, which is very easy for me to do regardless. So we just kept walking. So yeah, we like got right into the store. It's the level of treatment is interesting of how they're treating you. And of course, we were buying things. So I'm not saying like we just went in and drank their free champagne and left, but like, the perception it does give off is you assume it, but we also experienced it, right? In this instance, so.
It's wild how you get treated differently when people just assume that you're important or you're a celebrity or you're whatever. It is wild the like stark difference in how the just the whole experience is different. And I think we saw it a lot when we were in Paris, which is just like very, very funny to me, to see that in some of those like shops and
And
restaurants.
they really, I mean, with JT, they know who Messi is, obviously, when the Messi photo is being shown, but like they probably don't know who Tom Brady is. They definitely don't know who I am. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's just funny that it's celebrity in general. It's
And it's
not necessarily like a French celebrity in
right.
your case, but it was just celebrity in general. They look, you said it best at the event, act as if you belong. I know it's one of our topics when we get there, but you got to act as if you belong. So I wasn't even the one going through the doors. I wasn't the one trying to get the reservation. Someone else was just going off on my behalf. Yeah, it's just funny. The power of disparity, for sure.
It's wild. It's
Yeah.
wild, but it works. And that's why, I think it's interesting because we kind of started this podcast to talk about, things going on in the world, in pop culture, things going on in our lives, and like what is kind of like the business aspect of it, or what is the branding, or what is like the impact of the things that we see going on. And it is really interesting because I don't know. Sometimes I don't even think about the fact that like, oh, we run successful businesses and like we have this branding and credibility. And like, I think about stories or people that we're talking about. And sometimes I'm like, oh, the degree of separation to some of those people is not much. Like,
Yeah.
it's not much sometimes that like, oh, I actually have someone's phone number in my phone that would be like, would know or would be one step away. And it's also interesting to me, I think, because you nor I think we're both two people that like don't ever really act like that at all. Like
Yeah.
and it always it, to this day, it like blows my mind. In the airport, I feel like I'm always dressed like a homeless person. Maybe not. I'll say this. On the way to Paris, I was dressed in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Now it was a full Philipp Plein sweatshirt and a, like sweatpants and sweatshirt, right? So it's like a designer, high-end homeless wear. That's what I call it. Designer high-end homeless wear. But because I am obsessed with the Philipp Plein brand. And it's funny, we were just in Paris. I went shopping there. I literally just got a delivery yesterday of a pair of shoes that I had ordered. And I'm waiting for a bag that I had ordered to come as well. But in the airport, people still think I look like a homeless person because nobody knows who the heck Philipp Plein is, right? Like if I was in a Versace homeless person sweatsuit, people
They
would
know.
be like, oh, that's a designer sweatsuit apparel with ripped holes and skulls on it. So, but I feel like people in the airport always will look at me and kind of treat me like, ma'am, oh, we're only boarding, we're only boarding 1K or we're only boarding business class. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. Like, I know what I'm doing here. I promise I do belong. I don't look like it, but I do belong. But just that, like, that perception that people have when, they do everyone judges the book by the cover. And anyone that wants to tell me they don't, you're full of shit. I judge books by their cover, even though I know that we shouldn't, right? And you try not to, but we all can't you can't help to not have that like first initial impression of something. So I just think it's funny, and I'm always reminded of it, like when we're traveling or shopping and like all of that stuff. It just like brings all of that very to the forefront. And it is kind of wild sometimes, but I know we've got probably a million and one things to discuss. I don't even know where we start.
I did also save a life. We can add that in.
Yes,
I saved a life.
There was two things I wanted to discuss that were like prior to our trip that probably would have been on our last episode, but we didn't really get to it. Oh gosh, there was actually three things I wanted to talk about. So we can run through them pretty quickly, because this is going to be like a bonus two episodes in one, because we also just don't have the time to record two full episodes. So we're going to probably go through a lot of things really quickly. One thing I want to talk about, I think it's really relevant, is the now buying of the blue checks on social media. Yes. I want to have the conversation with you. What do you think about it? What do you feel about it? Are you buying blue checks, Twitter, Instagram? Like, what are your thoughts?
Well, the second it happened to Twitter, I said, well done, because that was just an Elon Musk on a business monetization standpoint. Okay. Well done. You also look, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but how much Instagram made in one day when they activated. Insane, right?
I want to say it was very, very, very high millions, if not.
Like hundreds of millions, I think.
Yeah. While you're talking, I'm going to see if I can find
you Google. So for me, I'm like, on a monetization standpoint, I think it's genius. And I say that as well, because anyone, unless you're J-Lo or an actor who has a blue check mark, has paid some level to get their blue check mark. So you're paying these people who have started these businesses, whether it's $25,000, $30,000 to get your verification. So why are you letting other people monetize as the owners of Facebook, as the owners of Twitter, just make it monetized for your company? So I totally understand it on that front. I won't be doing it on any social media platform that I don't use, but I feel like I am now forced to and have to when it comes to my Instagram, because number one, it's going to be like the status, like the normal thing to do. I think everyone's going to get it the second they can get it. And also with all the fake pages out there, what stops someone from taking all my content, creating another Katie, and then verifying that page? So without it, I feel like I'm screwed. So now I'm annoyed that I'm forced to do it. But I also think it's now going to die off. So what are we going to have next? Is it going to be a gold star? And that means you're an A-list celebrity? Or like, what is going to be that third piece we're going to have? Because you can't just have every single person having a verified page. Because now verified doesn't mean what it used to mean. Now verified just means I pay $12.99 a month to prove that I am a human.
Right. And
it's not a status anymore.
Well, I think it's interesting, because initially I'm not going to do it on Twitter. I don't use Twitter enough. Yeah. I'm just not there enough. I think it was really, really smart, but I was kind of like, I don't know that it's worth it to pay whatever, $15 a month, because I'm not an avid Twitter user. Now on Instagram, I was like, you know what? I am going to do it on Instagram. I submitted the thing, and then I started hearing more and more about the basically people that already had it are going to get something else. New people would get the blue one. People that already had it are going to have a purple one or whatever, and they're going to be like different colors for different things. And then I'm like, well, I don't even know if it's worth it. I think as of this morning, I have four different fake scammer Francie pages that aren't getting removed, that are already on my content. And I don't know if me paying $15 a month is going to stop that. I don't think it's going to stop that. I think, unfortunately, people are idiots. like actual friends of, like, this is where it just blows my mind. People that are friends of mine, like have my cell phone number, friends of mine have engaged with fake Francie pages. And I'm like, whenever in my entire time of us knowing each other, have I ever started a conversation spelling out the full word hello?
True. When? Facts.
Point it out. Point it out to me. When have I ever said H-E-L-L-O, hello? Never. I'm like, hi, hey, what's up? Hey, girl. But like, when do I say hello? Never, ever, ever. So I just think it's interesting. I think it's a really smart business move. I do think apps should just have some kind of a verification of like, are you a real person? Right? Because I don't understand like how, I'll never understand. And I could probably spend a whole episode on how you can, because it happens to both of us, take all my pictures, all my content, everything, recreate a page, pretend to be me. And that's not something that gets removed. I will never understand it. And when a lot of times there's a link in the bio that even links to a page where if you click it, it straight up is phishing for people's information. So why these apps aren't like, oh, this is a problem and we need to remove it, I'll never know. I think it's predominantly because it's all about the money and they look at that as a user. Right? There's four fake Francies right now. If they remove those, that's four users. There's probably multiple fake Katies right now. If they remove all the, right? So that's just the two of us. And that's probably 8 to 10 users right there. So if they eliminated all of that, how many users are they losing? And that's probably how they look at it and why, where they're just like, whatever. So I wanted to just get your feedback on that because I have very, very mixed feelings.
Yeah, no,
yet.
And close people, same like we were saying, my neighbor sent money to one of these. And I'm like, you could text me, knock on my dang door, like literally throw a rock at me. Like, I don't understand why you'd ever, ever invest. And it sucks because it, you know, you feel guilty to a point, but it's common sense. Like,
it is common sense. And I don't know how many times I can say it. Like, I'm never going to ask anyone to invest in anything or give me money, nor will JT, nor without there being something in writing or some kind of an agreement in place.
Yeah.
Like, I just, that it, I wouldn't, not happening. So, just, you know, that kind of drives me crazy. The other thing I really wanted to quickly touch on, just because we started our podcast talking about the whole Scandoval Vanderpump drama. So I wanted to talk about the Bee's Luggage brand because there was, and now this is a little bit dated, but I just really wanted to kind of point out the ingenious behind the marketing and branding. There was a photo of Rachel Raquel leaving Tom Sandoval and Ariana's house. I think Ariana was out of town. She was getting in the car and she had this bag, which is like this brand of luggage. And that luggage brand reposted, right? And was basically like, this is not a sponsored ad. We provide the luggage, but not the baggage, something along those lines, which I thought was great. They then sent the entire luggage, like an entire thing of all their different bags to Ariana. And basically we're like, we support Ariana. And then Ariana had posted like going on a trip with all of her bees. I think it's pronounced bees, buys, I don't know, luggage. And I just wanted to point out the like branding behind that of like, there's a lot of people that have different brands or different companies, and you can have people that maybe you don't think are fitting of the brand, or you don't want people to think that you are supporting, and how they went about it, I thought in a really, really smart way. They were really funny and, you know, made it into a joke of Rachel Raquel with the baggage, and then like made a point to like send it all to Ariana and like get behind Ariana. So I thought that was like, they're using the whole thing to really get their brand out there and people are talking about it. I'll admit I'd never really looked at their luggage before. I haven't bought any of it, but I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. And I like the little weekender bag and it has a separate compartment for the shoes. And then in my head, I'm like, will you ever use it? You have 8 million bags. And then I have that like internal debate, right? But I think it was one of those, they had an opportunity and like they had to jump on it in that moment, and they did jump and they did it so incredibly well. So I wanted to kind of shout
and
that
out. They also did damage control, because what if it was like, boycott these bags? Because they're also hedging their bet. Not only was it an opportunity to make sales, and the headline is perfect, but damage control. Because what if they never, no one wanted to support the brand anymore? Because you can't control who starts wearing your brand.
No, you can't. And, you know, in that, right. And they could have, it could have went a lot of different ways, but I think the way that it did go, they handled it really, really well. And so I'm like, super kudos for them on that. The other thing, which we could probably make into a much longer topic, but I did want to talk about Bud Light and everything that was surrounding Bud Light, all the controversy, the drama. Basically, Bud Light came out with a campaign that, and I don't know the individual's name, and I should. It is totally just escaped my brain at this moment, but highlighted a trans person on the can, on like the packaging and on the can. And it has like created, people are up in arms over this. Now, I will lead this conversation by saying I don't drink beer, number one. So like, I'm definitely not the like beer consumer. I will also say, I don't know the last time Bud Light put anyone on a can.
Yeah.
So I find that just very interesting. But I think it's a very interesting topic. And I will also lead this by saying, like, I don't give a shit. I think anyone can do whatever they want, be whoever they want. Like, you do you, you live your life. I'm not here to like judge or tear down anybody else's decisions on the things they want to do. But it is a different conversation, because a lot of people feel a lot of different ways about it. And unfortunately, you can't, as much as you would like to, you just can't change some people's feelings about things. And I think that's kind of a hard part. We have a lot of generations going on. We have this whole, I would say millennial, Gen Z, younger generation that are just much more open, accepting, just open-minded. But there's a whole other generation of people who are in their 70s, 80s that just don't, they we'll just never. Don't understand. Yeah. They just don't understand. Yeah. It's not a part of how they've ever lived their life. And I'm not saying there's anything to fault with that. It's just, I think it's really hard for some people who have lived a majority of their life with things being one way, and then something changes, or culture, people, evolution, things change over time, and just don't understand it. But it's wild to me, the like reaction of Kid Rock, and how he is like, was literally saying, I won't perform anywhere where they serve Bud Light. And
yeah,
it's just wild to me. And then all these fake news things coming out of like the CEO resigning, or people in marketing get fired, which is not at all the case. And then I read something, and I have no idea if this is even true or not, where it was saying that something about that this campaign had actually started in Canada in 2022, something about how it had started in 2022 in Canada around, I don't know if it was like Pride or around
one
of those times. And somehow it now either has like made its way into the US or whatever the case may be, but that it wasn't actually even originally started in US. My whole thing behind all of this is, I would love to know Bud Light's thought process, because one, I said I'm not a beer drinker. Bud Light's not been doing like phenomenally well from.
Who was Pamela Anderson? Was that Bud Light?
Pamela Anderson?
Like when they just got with, or was it Coors Light? One of them discovered her.
Oh, I think it was. Coors
Light.
Light. Because
Also,
it was at the hockey game, right?
baseball, I think.
It was some sports game. Some
Yeah.
sports. Yay, sports. Was it? Oh, Bud Light's like has kind of been on the decline. But what I find interesting is like you kind of have to cater to your market, right? So I'm just thinking about this from like a marketing standpoint. And I think you do need to cater to your market. I also know like younger generations, right? Like our ages, younger. I feel like beer, Bud Light specifically, is not necessarily what people are gravitating towards. They're
Yeah.
doing more of like craft beers or one of the 8 million seltzer options that are available on the market, or like a Bud Light is not a go-to. And I don't know that this, when it comes to drinks, I'll put it this way, when it comes to drinks, I don't know that who you put on a can is going to influence anyone to start
Younger.
drinking that
Yeah.
drink.
You took an old man's beer and you added a Gen Z millennial culture, and you're wondering why they're in uproar.
And I don't think generationally people are going to run out and now buy Bud Light because of that. And like I just don't drink beer. It's more of a gluten-free thing for me. So I don't drink any beer. But prior to me being gluten-free, I was not the biggest beer drinker. Like I would drink a beer prior if it was the only option. I would drink a beer and that's fine and I'm not going to complain, but I never would seek out a beer. And so you could put Justin Timberlake on Bud Light, it still wasn't going to make me go buy Bud Light when I would drink beer. It didn't matter who you put on any can of beer, it was not going to make me go buy that beer.
Well, I
So
think it comes to your point is the marketing, right? So, we're all for let people do what they want to do. Let's make that very clear on the podcast. But we always say this with personal brands. There's certain things we publicly talk about and publicly don't talk about. So is it better as a very large brand, like you're trying to use that as marketing? Well, is it better to just go and support different things and have like kind of a charity event as Bud Light than to put it on a can where you're literally trying to monetize? Because there's also people on the other spectrum who were like, well, we're annoyed they're trying to monetize
like
any
exploit.
part of our community. Yeah. So it's not like you're trying to support us. You just want to monetize us because it's trending.
So that's my thing. Like I think you can have brand ambassadors that don't necessarily become the face of the brand, right? That are like support the brand, might be in commercials, might do different promotions. And I think the better thing, especially with a product like that, is you go sponsor events and things that are gonna put you in the hands of the people that, because like I said, who you put on something is not necessarily gonna make me go buy it. But if you put it in my hand and I try it and I like it, then I may purchase it more or purchase it again. And I think that's kind of, for me, it's like, I think the better marketing move is, okay, that's great. You wanna show that you are behind and you are supporting, new times and, different communities that maybe not every brand is out there supporting, which I think is great. But I think there's a better way to do that in how do you maybe sponsor, support, donate to, and get your product in the actual hands versus just putting a face on something. And that
Yeah,
might be
like
a better
actually
way.
invoke change or actually support what they're trying to do. And I've actually had that feeling with like many big brands, as there's been different issues that, okay, it's trending now, so this is something we're just gonna slap on a campaign. And it's great to see as a culture, yes, we're bringing these things to light, but they're not bringing them to light for the right reasons. They're not going to your charity sponsoring. And I actually do think what you're talking about is true. I think it was Pride and I think it was Bud Light. I vividly have memories of this. So like, you know, it's a little different. You're putting your product there. Yes, we know it's a business. Yes. But these big organizations have money set aside for charity or for giving back purposes. So why do we need to slap it on a campaign for the wrong reasons? Not saying it was the wrong reasons. I'm just saying
Well, and I think
they're trying to like spin culture.
right. And I think from a business standpoint, right, you have your consumers that feel very passionately. It's old men. It's older men, probably old white men who just don't understand it. And I'm not saying it's okay, but it's just hard. It's hard to change someone that's lived their life for so many years thinking a certain way that now are like, I refuse to buy it, which that's a whole other thing to me that I'll never understand. If you like something, like who gives a shit who's on it right now? But when people are just like, this is my beer or this is my brand and it's representative of, you know, whatever it is that I do, and now you're bringing something into it I don't understand. People do have the right to say, I don't want to buy or support that product anymore. But I do think in a brand that's kind of declining in sales and not doing great, because I think the whole beer category overall, with the inception of 8 billion seltzers that are now basically competing to beer, right? That taste differently, have different flavors, a lot of cases lower calorie, right? Just like, are a different option, right? I don't even think it's like beer can compete against beer. It's beer competing against alternatives now. It's like part of me is like, you can't afford to piss off your loyal consumer from a business standpoint. How do you not piss off your loyal consumers while trying to figure out how to bring in new consumers? And again, I don't disagree with supporting new communities. I think they did it in a way, though, that you're almost making it worse for yourself as a brand. And I think there's a better way that they could have went about it, and there's a better way they could have shown support and like rallying around a different community. So I did want to talk about that because I also just think it's out of control, all the like fake news that's coming out about it and people are perpetuating. And that's also wild to me, how so many people were talking about the CEO stepping down, which never happened, but like somebody put it out there and then everyone just ran with it, which is also just wild. So, all right, I think that wraps up our like what we wanted to talk about last week. So we will get into our new topics from our really fun times in Paris. I'm going to start with, because I feel like recently we were talking all about golf. So now we're a sports pod and we're going to shift to talking all about football, AKA soccer, for all of our Americans that are pretty much, well, actually, no, we do have worldwide listeners. We do have people that are all over the world that are listening. So just to be clear, football for the entire world, except the US, where we call it soccer, because we're the weirdos on every single plane that you can think of, because we measure differently. We do everything differently. So football/soccer, as we had a lot of wild experiences, if you will, related to and tied to football in Paris this past week.
We did. I ended up going to the game and I was texting Francie. We were not with each other and I was like, am I gonna regret this? Should I just do this? For those of you who know, Lons was playing PSG, so it was the two top teams, and I was originally just gonna watch it kind of from a cafe or like somewhere. And for those of you who know, JT and Richard both went and met Messi, and so I was just like sitting there, and I was impulsive. Like when I mean perfect timing. From the second I'm texting Francie to be like, should I just do this? Should I not do this? Should I just do this? And my big thing was I'm a girl, I'm in Paris, and I wanted to make sure like I had boys going with me, and I felt kind of safe getting in and out of there, and was able to rally up three or four boys to go, and they all wanted to go to the game, and I was like, okay, let's just do it. So we randomly just left dinner. I got a power bank for my phone on the way, and just jumped in and went and saw the game, and the game was amazing. Messi scored, PSG won, so I was happy.
It was a good game. And I told Katie, like, whenever you're debating something like that, like, you just have to go because you're going to regret not going. And I told her, I was like, I'm probably going to regret not going just because it's one of those you're here and like, why didn't you do it? And part of me did, and part of me didn't the next day. Like, but I also knew like I would be fine. I would live another day not having gone to the game. But I do think anytime you're in that experience, like you just have to go for it. I will say that the way that JT actually was able to meet Messi was through this amazing individual who we ended up having dinner with, who I'm just like, I don't even know if we got into this or not. I think JT mentioned it the other day. His family actually owns a nightclub in Ibiza, which I have been to and have some wild stories from my experience at that nightclub. So it's just like it's such a small world, and the stories that he was sharing and telling were just wild. And we had such a good time with him, and like he knows everyone. So we really might be manifesting Katie dating Tom Brady. That could happen. All I know is that I am not as in the international football world, if you will, but he knows a lot of men and they were all very attractive. So I was like, maybe I need to start getting more into football
I feel like we're doing this
internationally.
backwards. Like, you love football more than I love soccer, and then it would be dating the wrong sport, but then we get to see each other because we would just go
But I feel
support
like it would work
game.
though, because
It would work.
I'm a big fan and follower of the NFL. So I feel like it'd be hard to like, I'd be a fan, right? Like you would be partially a fan. And then that's weird because you're just dating a fan. And I feel like reality TV stars or like even famous actors act like they all talk about this all like, could you ever really date a fan? And actually sent Katie the other day, oh God, who was it? Where he was talking about it is a famous actor and he's single and he was like, the DMs are open. And I was like, I need
Oh,
to DM him. And he was like, but if you were like, oh, I really loved your part in this movie or the character you played, he'd be like, oh no, because they're a fan. But he was like, but if you were just like, oh,
yeah.
I think that you live, you're in like the New York or Connecticut area. Would you be open to like grabbing a drink? And so my whole thing is like, I think that's how it's supposed to work because you're a international football fan, right? So you would be a fan where I'm kind of like, I know about it. I know what's going on. So I understand your sport, but I'm not like a fan. So
So
I
I
think
can't
it would
date
work.
anyone that plays professional soccer.
Huh?
I can't date anyone that would play professional soccer. I'd be a fan.
Right, you'd be a fan, and then it would always be kind of like you would be meeting his friends and be like, "Oh my
Oh
God,
my God.
right?"
I
Where
don't think it's
like
weird.
I would be meeting his friends and probably not fully know if they play, they don't play, they're just a friend, they play on the same. Like I wouldn't fully know, right? And I will even say I wasn't an NFL player, but I'm a huge New York Giants fan. That is my team. Go Giants. As we're on here, you guys can't see this, but I'm pointing at my football that is signed by John Tisch, who's one of the owners of the New York Giants. I went on a date once with a guy. Never publicly told story before. Went on a date with this guy once, and during the date, completely organically, we start talking about sports. He asked me who my like, oh, what are you most into? I was like, probably NFL is my biggest. I'm a huge New York Giants fan. This was right around the time when Eli Manning he was still on the Giants, but they were like, he was starting to not start every game or not play every. So it was like the writing's on the wall. Like this is either his last season or whatever the case may be. So we start talking about the Giants. I was like, I'm a huge like fan of Eli Manning. I hate what's happening to him. Like go into this whole thing. And he's just kind of like laughing a little bit, whatever. Come to find out, Eli Manning is one of his best friends. as they went to college together.
Oh my God.
Okay. They went to college together. And like that weekend, he was actually going. I can't remember where the game was, but he was actually going to the game. And I remember after the date, I could have been friends with this guy. There was zero interest, like romantically. I had no interest in dating him. But I remember sitting in my car after the date and being like, how many dates do I have to go on with him until I can meet Eli Manning? Wait a minute. What if we actually like really dated for a long time? Like, would there be like couples trips, and like on the couples trips, it's going to be like Eli. And then he also started talking how he knows the whole family. And I'm like, holy smokes, maybe I could meet Eli and I could meet Peyton. What if we got married and Eli's actually in my wedding, right? Like I am like the wheels.
Eli is like your godfather to your children.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I'm literally in my head being like, how far do I have to like entertain this, right? So like after the date, he's like texting me, I'm like keeping the conversation going, knowing I have no interest in this man, no interest. What, like if he went to kiss me, I was probably gonna like bob and weave, like zero interest. But in my head, I am a fan, so I was debating of how long do I have to entertain this to get access to Eli Manning. So that is my right. And like, I don't think a few of my close friends know that story, because I remember debating with a couple of them that are also very into football, like how long do I have to keep this going? And like, he was so nice and very successful. Like on paper, like I'm sure he will make a phenomenal husband and make someone very, very happy. Like there was nothing like wrong. There just wasn't that like chemistry, right? But there was right. Eli Manning. So I
but
and then I just was like, no, I can't go on a second. Like I'm not interested in that. Like I can't waste his time. And at the end of the day, as much as I would love to meet Eli Manning, there are other ways I can probably get to meeting Eli Manning that don't require me having to pretend to like someone. But that's why you probably should date in the NFL and I should date someone.
It's perfect. It works for me.
Perfect. So yeah, we're like Go Sports Stan podcast here, as who would have ever known. All right, what's our next topic we want to talk about?
Where are we? We got in.
Oh, let's talk about how you save someone's life, and you are now a French hero, and there is a day dedicated to Katie.
Yes. Well, two things, because I learned a lot when this happened. It happened twice. So once I was at the first time I was at the PSG game, the first goal happened. And so we're all standing up and we're cheering, and the girl in front of me just collapses and falls to the floor. And so we're screaming, trying to get the security's attention. And like, they can see us. And they can see that we're trying to get their attention. Everyone's yelling like ambulance, ambulance, ambulance. And they're like, we can't do anything. So because a goal had been scored and the players were in like the top right box, which was like right beside us, they couldn't. There was like a 3-minute delay before other security from up top came down. So I was like, wow, good to know. Don't ever die in Paris.
Yeah.
And it continues on fainting number two. So that girl, they did get her up and they got her out, and she was fine. She was actually standing
was
up.
She by just the end. So excited that they scored a goal.
It was exciting, and it was I think she stood up too quickly, and the reason I say it is because she legit fainted. You could see her fall. Her husband was there, and then a few seconds in, she was like coming around, and like you can't drink. I thought you couldn't drink at the French stadiums either, because you can't drink at the British stadiums. But there was beer there, but it's not like people are going to these games, not like an American football game, not like people are wasted out of their minds and there's like other things going on.
What I had heard is that people don't like leave their seat during the game.
Yeah.
Like in American sports, it is very normal. Like I'm going to go get beer. I'm going to go get snacks. I'm going to go to the bathroom, where it was like, I'm in my seat. I'm not moving.
Not moving. Even halftime. Like I didn't leave at halftime. Which if I really had to go to the bathroom, I probably would have, but Yeah, people don't leave their seats. It's harder to get in and out because it is so jam-packed. But yeah, she definitely just stood up. She was cheering. I remember that. And then she just kind of collapsed. So I think it was a combination of, it was not like it was heat. It was cold out. So it was just fainted, but she came around. So she was fine. I think they got her out. Then this was yesterday, day before yesterday, yesterday, yesterday. And I was just in the lobby working. We were checking out to come to the UK. And there was no one around. Me and Kay was with me, and she was just on her laptop. So she's facing me, and I'm kind of facing like the reception desk. And all of a sudden, I didn't even see her fall. So let's note that there is no other staff member is down there. And all of a sudden, we see her on the side, and she's full on having a seizure, and she's continuously having seizures. So me and Kay. I mean, luckily, of all the two people that could have been there, you got two women that have like dealt with this 100 times.
I was gonna say, do you have
Like
you
we
experienced?
knew what to do. Yeah, like so we grabbed pillows. We were putting the because the one staff member came over and was like slapping her face, and we're like, stop, like don't, because she's trying to wake her up. We're like,
Right.
don't slap her. Don't do anything. So we're putting the pillows under. I ran to like this management office. She's just pointing. And the reason it was really intense, like I've dealt with this a lot, but the reason it was so intense was the language barrier.
Right.
So you're trying to explain things to people that they don't understand. So Kay's got her kind of propped with the pillows. I'm running over to the management and I'm like, I don't even know if you dial 911, 999,
It's
111.
112 in
There
Paris.
we go. 112. So they instantly called the ambulance. And for about like 30 minutes, she was out for probably 10 minutes. Before we even noticed her. And she was like, I don't know how to describe it, from you to your pool, because I know that distance away. Like she was very close. She wasn't far from us. So she must have just gone down the back. And that's why we didn't hear like a thump. And you could kind of hear like her foot rattling and body shaking. So then they are obviously all in there with her now. She still is not, you can't get anything out of her. She's not speaking. She's out cold. So we said, like, get some towels. We were showing them what to do. And then it took like almost 30 minutes for an ambulance to get there.
Wild.
And I was like, you're having a full-blown seizure. It took 30 minutes.
Did she
So,
stop seizing before the ambulance came?
like, right when they were showing up, they still had her on her back. And then she finally had stopped. We had left and come back. We ran upstairs to like get all of our luggage and stuff. And I think it had happened again, but at that point they had got her in the back of the ambulance. But
Well, she was just so
and
excited.
then
Not very close.
Fadis came down finally to like join the two of us, and he's like, "What would have happened?" And me and Kay looked at each other. We said, without being dramatic, she would have died because the like her head kept smacking on concrete.
Right.
So. It was wild. And then we felt kind of sick to our, like, so used to it, but you run on the adrenaline, right? So we're like sick to our stomach and we're like, we need to go get some breakfast.
It is so scary seeing things happen when you're overseas. I'll never forget we one time when I was in Dublin, we literally watched a girl die, and it was so sad because it was like a group of girls and they were young, and I don't know what the legal drinking age is in Ireland, but they were either just legal or maybe not legal, pretending to be legal, like young. And I'll never forget we were in like this pub, this group walks by, it's all those cobblestone streets, she literally like falls on the cobblestone street, and there's a bunch of people. They call that it takes forever for the ambulance to come. One of the people in our group, he goes over, and he had actually been an EMT before, and so we're in Ireland, so people speak English, so thank God that's not wasn't as big of an issue. But I was saying to him, like, don't touch her. Tell her friends what to do, but like, just we're in another country. Like, God forbid, every like you do something, and they're like, it's that guy did whatever, and that like, you just don't know. Like, you just don't know, right? So The ambulance comes. She is like laid out the entire time, and they're like checking her vitals. You like before the ambulance comes, she has a pulse, but we're like, don't. And also, I'm like, don't move her. Don't move her at all because she's clearly hit her head. Like, you know what I mean? That sometimes people can do more damage when they try to actually move the body. So the ambulance comes. They get there. We see the girl. God, it was so crazy. Where she, all of a sudden she like shot up, and it's kind of was that like they say your reaction sometimes when like you're it's like you get this rush of adrenaline, and
Yeah.
then the ambulance is there, and one of the EMTs is holding her, and she literally at that point like falls back into his arms, and then you can literally see how the rush to like you can see how the pace just like stops.
Got it.
And
Yeah.
they get, you know, they do get her on a stretcher and get her into the back of the ambulance. But it was like, she definitely did not make it. And it was her head. She tripped and she just like smacked
Massive.
down on those, you know, those cobblestone bricks in the street. But it's just one of those experiences where it's so surreal. Because it's partially like you don't know what to do. And the only reason I knew in Paris it was 112 is ever since that experience in Dublin, anytime I've been in a country, when I get there, I'll always look up what's the emergency number to
Yeah.
call because it's not 911 everywhere. That's
Yeah.
just the US and it is a different thing everywhere in the world. And so that's just why I knew it was Paris. And because somebody, I think JT had asked me, like, who would we even call? And I was like, 112. That I just anywhere I go, I look it up since then because obviously in that moment to then try and like search who do you like Google what's the number you call, or especially in Paris, there people speak French, a lot of people speak English. But if you're yelling like ambulance or 911, like
Yeah, they
that
don't know.
doesn't compute whatever you're saying. So to know that, which is
I did say that the second it happened, I said, I'm gonna start like I need to know what the emergency, because like, and also it's the reception and they're pointing at the phones and we're like, I don't
I don't
know.
know
Like
what to
we
do.
started Googling
And
and we just ran.
what do you say too?
Yeah. It's gotta be someone that can talk to them, right? So, but to me it was still crazy that, and the protests had gotten a little bit crazier the last couple of days. You guys had been gone. So there was like a really scary point where there was like streets and flames and everything, and so I know that they were backed up and it was probably hard to get in, but it's like first thing I Googled once the like ambulances had come with her, I was like, do they have paid healthcare? Because I'm like, I'm not letting this woman go to the hospital and she's gonna die because she doesn't have healthcare. So I was like, does anybody know? So then I started Googling and I was like, okay, they have paid healthcare, she's gonna be fine. Because it's like now it's on my conscience. But we came back later that day. And right before we had left, and they said that she was okay. She was in the hospital. So we
Well,
know she made it.
there you go. Saving lives.
Saving lives.
Saving lives out here. Another topic I wanted to discuss had nothing to do with our trip, but I wanted to talk about what your thoughts are. Ariana, who is on Vanderpump Rules, Tom Sandoval, her former boyfriend, cheating on her best friend, all of that. She definitely was seen out and about at Coachella this past weekend. And I don't know if they're officially together, but there is definitely a boyfriend. He is definitely good looking. Kudos to her for that. But I was thinking about it, and I know, you know, this is not a relationship pod, but obviously she has moved on. And I was thinking about it in like so many business standpoints too, of like when people have a business relationship that doesn't work out or a deal that doesn't work out, and then they like jump right into the next thing. And I was looking at her seeing all these things from Coachella, and I'm like, okay, she's just jumped into the next thing. And part of me was like, okay, I'm happy for her. But the other part of me is like, that was really fast.
Yeah.
Like, has the dust even settled? Are you and Tom still living in the same house?
Yes, not Tom Brady, Tom Sandoval.
Yes, her Tom Sand. We're now not talking about Katie and Tom Brady. We are talking about Ariana and Tom Sandoval. And now,
No, I did see I've avoided sending you TikToks because I feel like I'm going to wake you up. So put your phone on Do Not Disturb for the next 4 days. There was a TikTok this morning of they were asking Tom Sandoval at the airport. I don't know if you saw it yet, about Coachella and Ariana being there. And they were asking, you know, what do you think about it? She obviously has a new boyfriend. And he goes, yeah, I saw. And he was just like, I am really happy for her. Now, of course, this is TMZ, could have been staged, this and that. You know, is he really happy? Is he not? We don't know. There's lots of conspiracies to the whole thing going down. I personally feel like their relationship was done for a very long time, like through the whole thing. And I feel like in the show, they were the ones that didn't show that much. So, not that I am Team Ariana, I am not Team Sandoval in any of this situation, but it kind of is backing up everything he's saying. Like, was this, maybe they weren't doing anything, but was this slowly in your back pocket? Or are you just really that sad and that messed up, so you're moving on very quick?
I don't know, but I think it's wild. And I do, because I always like relate everything to business because that's my life. Clearly, no relationships over here. Just my two. And you're probably hearing my dog's snore. I think it's predominantly Hudson that has been snoring this entire time. So just shout out to the pups if you're hearing a weird noise in the background. Unfortunately, that's not my boyfriend who is asleep next to me while we're recording this. It is my dogs who are better than boyfriends, but whatever. But I do think of it a lot of times because it's the same, people do the same thing in business, right? Like relationships kind of fall apart, or you're like, you know, the end is coming for a long time. So it's like you're, it's ended before it's ended, and then they jump into new things. But sometimes it's like, I think people have this like, oh, well, I need to have someone, or I need a partner, or I need a second person, instead of being like, okay, can I just figure this out on my own? And so I thought it was a little bit, I was like, it's a little bit why, I mean, again, he's very good looking, so good for her. And, you know, she seems happy, but it does make me just kind of be like, wow, that seems fast. And it also makes me think, because Sandoval did an interview with Howie Mandel, which I've not listened to the whole interview. I don't even know where to watch the interview, but I've seen so many clips. And I just sit there and go, people, get PR and media training. If you're ever in a business, if you ever are going to start doing media, if you're ever going to start doing PR, interviews on things, whatever it might be, and you know that the things people are interested in, like there's different reasons, right? People might be interviewed because they're successful in business, or because they're very knowledgeable in a certain area, or because there's drama surrounding their life and it's pop culture and it's news. You need to, I don't care who you are and what the reason is you're being interviewed and how big the platform is, you need to sit there and say, these are the things people are going to ask me. How am I going to answer this question? And how am I going? What I tell people all the time, it's not even keeping control of the narrative, but how do I spin something back to what I want to stay focused on? And I'm watching so many of these people do all these different interviews. I mean, Tom Schwartz just was completely unhinged and like off the rails. Sandoval did himself no favors in his interview. And it's like, what is the point, and what are you trying to bring things back to? If I was Schwartz or Sandoval right now, what I would be doing if I was them is I would be going on these interviews. I would be keeping my answers as short and to the point as possible and saying, but I'm frequently at Schwartz and Sandy's. Come on by, and I'd be more than happy to have a longer conversation with anyone that wants more information. And I'd be driving the shit out of trying to get people into my restaurant or Tom Tom or any, either one of them. But that would be the biggest thing that I would be doing in every interview, is would be PR promoting the shit out of my restaurants, which is what I need to make
When they
money,
go
because
down.
you know they're both not financial. I mean, now you got, you know, Schwartz just had to sell his house with Katie, which happened, you know, last summer, I guess, because they're talking about it. And I think it's around like August last year they sold it. But like, obviously, we know they were delayed in opening. Now, Tom and Ariana have a house together. And what are they going to do? Like, I would be turning all of it to like, come talk to me at Schwartz and Sandy's and trying to drive people that want to know the answer. And I'm sure no matter what they do, they're going to get criticized. No matter what Sandoval does, people are going to criticize. He can do nothing right. The only thing he could do right now is like crawl into a deep, dark hole and not be seen by anyone. Unfortunately, he does have a business and he's a partner in a business that has other partners. So I don't know that he can afford to crawl in a deep, dark hole right now. Like, that's not how you crisis management things. So I think I would just kind of be apologizing to Ariana. Like, I'm so sorry. I hurt her feelings. I wouldn't be trying to like explain anything away of whether it was over, it wasn't over, we weren't happy, whatever. I'd be apologizing that I didn't handle it how I should have. And
I also feel like he doesn't even have options. And I feel like he needs to double down on the crazy. You need to accept that you will always now, this will always be smeared all over you.
It will, but what's interesting, and I did see something side by side, everything he's saying about him and Ariana's relationship are the exact same things he was saying when he broke up with Kristen and had cheated on Kristen with Ariana, and then him and Ariana ended up in a relationship. So this is Tom's MO, and it sounds like, and there are people out there like this, that get themselves in relationships, are not happy, and just can't say, I want out. And I think there's too many people that are so afraid of confrontation, so afraid of dealing with things. And it's like, guess what? It only gets worse.
Yeah.
It only gets worse. And personal relationships and business relationships and anything, the longer things go without being dealt with or confronted or handled, the problem only gets bigger and the challenge only gets worse. So I think it's just, it is kind of like, wild that everything he's doing, but if I was him, I'd at least be trying to be like, I would be posting,
do like a Q&A, do like live podcast recording at your restaurant, like do something. Like, if it's already gonna be out there, why are you letting TMZ make the money on it?
Right, I would be posted up at my restaurant,
yeah,
for people to come in and like ask
good or bad, good or bad.
People would go. I guarantee you people would go because they would want to know.
You could do like a dunk tank, like throw Sandoval in the dunk tank.
I think in the whole thing of all this, like, even though people are pissed, people are going to go to those spots because they're going to try and see like, who do we see and who can we talk to and what can we find out? And like,
and it's trending. So they're still going there. They still want to see. They want to see who's showing up. They want to know if they can hear anything or see anything. So it's like, double down on it then. Have people there. Like, I know a lot of people have kind of kiboshed Sandoval, but there's people in that circle that are talking to him. So make him come with you.
And it's like everyone else is finding ways to monetize. I mean, Ariana is started with her merch. There's promotion stuff going on for Something About Her, which is the sandwich shop. So it's like people are doing the right things. And I think Schwartz and Sandoval, the two of them, just are doing all the wrong things. And there's so many ways I think that they could be handling it better and be trying to drive people to their business. Because at the end of the day, you still need to drive people to your business and you need to try to stay relevant throughout the whole thing. So I think, you know, that's all they can do. And then unfortunately, you know, I think obviously Rachel Raquel made a whole bunch of mistakes in the whole scenario, but she is kind of one of the few on that show that doesn't have any business brand, something outside of it. So it's like she hadn't really, she's kind of in the worst situation out of all of them.
Yeah.
Because what does she do next? Right. Everyone already hates her. She doesn't really have a business or a brand. She doesn't have much. Right. And who knows what's going to happen with the next season and who's going to be back and who isn't. But it's like, obviously a lot of people did a lot of messed up things, but it's like, she also is kind of in the worst position because she has nothing else going, or at least that anyone that's been publicly out there of anything else going. Not saying that people, if she had a product or a business or a brand, people would be like supporting it right now, but that's where it's like sometimes you also just got to be the one that like,
but then like a podcast or something where it's like they don't want to support you, but they're gonna listen, you're gonna get downloads. Like, you got to do something where like say your truth, get your word, like get your narrative out there, and then try and save whatever's left.
Yeah. So I don't know. Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
What else? Did we have any other topics? I'm trying to think. We had so many different. All right. I think we can cut.
That. Yeah.
I'm going to cut to my power tip of the week.
Okay. Oh, did you do situational awareness? Or is that your power tip? Did you do
my power? My power tip of the week is going to be learn how to be situationally aware, you dum-dums that are out there. And yes, dum-dums is my word that I call people. Sorry if you're offended by it, but there's a lot of dum-dums out in the world. And my power tip about situationally aware is like, read the room, know the situation you're in, know the people that you're dealing with. What is appropriate? What is not appropriate? What do you do? What do you not do? How do you act as if you belong in a certain situation? And what I will say is, you know, the gentleman that's who we met Messi through, awesome. Just a freaking
very nice,
like awesome individual. So many great stories. We had one of the best dinners. I think him and I were like kind of bullshitting the entire way through dinner. And like, he is sharing all these stories and all these different people that he knows. And then I'm kind of giving him shit about like all these different stories he's sharing. I'm kind of like, so yeah, you like, we're like surprised and jumped out of the bush and we're like jumped out of the bushes. And then we're like, take a picture with me. And it's really not like he actually does have relationships with these people, but the way a lot of these stories were going, that was kind of like the direction it was going. And, you know, there was other people that had an opportunity to meet him. And this is somebody new that we're just building a relationship with. And the way that people acted and were just like, can I have your cell phone number? And I want to help with this. And I want to do that. And what about this? And get me this signed. And it's just like, people, you got to act like you belong and be aware of the situation. And, you know, this is somebody I literally sat next to for 2.5-3 hours for dinner. And I had a few photos that he wanted and he had a few photos that I wanted. I didn't even ask for, hey, what's your number so I can send you these photos. I was just like, I'll send my photos to JT and he'll send them to you. And that's just like, of anyone in the situation throughout the evening, I probably could have been like, hey, what's your number? But I still in that situation wasn't like, I'm going to be the pushy one. And there was people like literally chasing him out being like, oh, what's your number? And like, I just think sometimes when you put people in those situations, right, they're nice, but it's just not putting you in a great.
Yeah. You can give anyone your number. It doesn't mean he's going to respond.
Oh, and the really funny part of all this is he's telling us all these different conversations and he's showing me his phone of like the text conversations. Yeah. And he is like the ultimate ghoster. Like this man is like, he's scrolling and scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, not one word from him. And I'm like, I think at this point, like maybe you should at least respond with like, the Verizon wireless user you are trying to connect with is no longer available or something. Because the other thing is so many of these are people that want something from him.
Yeah.
He has all these connections. He has all these relationships. And so these people are just like, and he's just not responding because he also is situationally aware. If he deals with all these high level athletes and he's like, hey, this person's injured right now. So I'm not going to go to them and be like, hey, someone wants to play a tennis match with you because they're injured and they don't give a shit about your donation or whatever to play tennis. Like this person's worried about what is the future of my tennis career? Or, you know, this person is dealing with, do I go play for the Saudis or not, which we talked about with Top Golf, which is also a big thing in soccer right now, where like a lot of players are getting offered a lot of money and do they go or do they not go? And just being situationally aware of like, you can't approach an athlete just after they lost to be like, hey, do you want to do this meet and greet? Like, it just, think about you. If you're a high level athlete, you just lose a game and now you're supposed to go like bullshit with someone and be like, I'm so happy to meet you. No, you're pissed. You just lost again. And so we were just having all those conversations. And so he's showing me all the, and I'm like, well, you are the person that would give your phone number out and you ain't never going to respond to anyone. And I was like, I was laughing because I was like, that's funny to me. And that's probably how I would be like, oh yeah, they keep messaging me, but I'm just not going to respond. And so it was just, it was very funny. It was a very funny situation, but that would be my like power tip of the week is whatever the situation you're in, like read the room and know like, how do I respond? And I think a lot of times
it doesn't matter the room. It doesn't matter the room. Anything. Like in every room, there's going to be someone that has a different level of power or control or business or whatever the case may be. And I think a lot of people lose a lot of opportunity because of the way they act. You could be in a factory trying to negotiate sticky notes and you don't handle that situation or that personality properly, and you're not going to get the deal you want. You're going to pay 10 cents more.
And you've got to also be situationally aware of you have to treat everyone properly. Because even though maybe that person's not the decision maker, they probably have the ear of the decision maker, or the decision maker might be paying attention to how you treat. And so I think just so often people are so situationally tone deaf and just don't pay attention to what's going on. And it could be any room, any situation, but you have to understand what's going on. And I think it's interesting because a lot of times when I first meet people or first come into situations, a lot of people don't know how to take me or are afraid of me. Or, I mean, Katie, you were afraid for probably years.
Terrified of you.
And I think a lot of that is in a lot of situations, I don't go in like a bull in a china shop being like, I'm here. Let me talk to everyone. I am very quiet and I observe because I look at the actions everyone's taking and what people are doing and if their actions match what they're talking about. And that's how I read situations to figure out what's actually going on. That's me. So I'm like not the one that just dives in and is like, talk, 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 talk. I'm the one that's usually like, all right, let me observe what's going on, which works well, I think, for JT and I as a duo in business, because he's more of the bull in the china. Like, not that he's a bull in a china shop. He is very situationally aware, but he's going to go in and he's like, talk, 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 meet you, talk about this, find this thing in common. And I'm just kind of like, we'll just add where I need to, because I'm just more of like the observer in the scenario. But I think there's far too many people that just go into anything like, hey, I'm here.
Yeah. I definitely have this personality type and I think you do too, but I always say I'm introvertedly extroverted. So until I know you, I'm very quiet. But then when you get to know me, you can't shut me up and I'm a light bulb. So it's like that kind of trust circle level of like working your way in. But yeah, some people just want to come and burst right into your bubble and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We don't know each other yet. Right. So it is that situational awareness. But one thing, because I know you said it in Paris and I've seen many situations go down, it's how you treat the people around the person you're trying to build a relationship with. So whether that in that world is JT and it's how you treat Francie or Francie's team, or it's you're going to a business and you want to do a deal with the guy who owns the company, but you're an absolute asshole to the assistant on the phone. It's so crucially important that even if someone made a mistake, maybe they made a mistake, maybe they scheduled you wrong, maybe something happened, or maybe you were supposed to go and have that meeting one day and you didn't, that you have to give grace to the people, to the entrepreneurs that are trying to keep running. Because you're never going to build that relationship. I know that on my side of things with my team, that I can't do what I want to do unless they're working every single day.
Right.
Right. So I know that I will defend them 100 times over. And if someone comes in and starts screaming at them for something, I'm like, screw it. We don't need your business. I don't
Right.
even do the deal with you. So I like, I know you've had your frustrations with that, but it's, that is situational awareness. That is longevity in business. That is longevity in relationships. And that is not just like conflict management. That is how you act in business. And
Well,
if you're going to keep bursting bubbles, you're never going to get through the doors you want to get through.
right. If you treat the, and that's the other thing, it doesn't matter who the person is on the team. If you treat someone like you're just trying to get past them to whoever's on the other side, right? And it could be an assistant. It could be, I was talking about like a marketing director. It could be a sales director. It could, whoever it is you're trying to get past, right? If you don't treat them with respect or like they're part of the process, they're not going to like you. And who do you think has the ear of that person? Right. And I say all the time in our business, I know, you know, JT will always ask my advice. Do we always agree? No. Does he always listen to everything that I say? No, but he will always ask, what do I think? And when it relates to situations with people that are our clients or people we might potentially do business with, I look at not only the business opportunity, but I look at how are they to deal with, like, how are they with the people on my team? How have they interacted with me? How are they with responding? And like, to me, that is a big piece, right? Like, we're in a deal right now where it hasn't exactly worked out as planned, but the individual that is working on that deal, he's been very good with the people on the team, and he's nonstop like finding alternative solutions. Like, it's not just like, oh, it's on the market, we're not getting any offers. He's like, okay, we could do this. We could also do this. We could bring in this person. We could partner in this way. And like, he's constantly bringing an alternative to the table, and he's been really, really great to deal with. And so now he's in a situation where he's trying to get a new property, and he needs he asked us if we want to partner, and for multiple reasons, it's just not something we're going to partner on because we would only be 40%. So we wouldn't have control. The money would be tied up for longer than I know JT would want it to be tied up, especially also not having any control. So I just know for those factors, it's just not a good fit for us. It is a good opportunity, but he needs basically the deposit and a proof of funds to like secure the part of the deal. And so I basically came to him and I said, hey, we're not going to do this with you, but I'll give you the proof of funds and the deposit for 30 days. We want the funds returned in 30 days with like this interest basically for 30 days. So we'll give you 30 days to figure it out and find your funding, or you exit the deal and give us, you know, give it, because he has a 30 day basically like due diligence period. And he was just like, seriously? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, and only for that much interest? And I'm like, yeah, it's only 30 days. And like, if that's fine. And he was like, no, absolutely. Like, thank you so much. Like, I didn't even think that would be an option, because he wanted us to just partner on the whole thing. And so I went to JT and was like, I know you're not going to want a partner, but what do you think if we just do this to kind of help him, right? And because he has been like really great to work with. And I'm very confident that whether he finds a partner or not, that will come back. And that's just solely been on how responsive he's been, how great he's been with everyone on the team, how like creative he's been. So like, that's a situation where he's been very situationally aware and very good at kind of understanding. And so he's going to get further from that than if he wasn't.
Also a creative way to like still make money from doing due diligence from something that helps both parties, but knows like, it doesn't mean like you have to do business with everyone. I think that's a big thing too. If you get along with another entrepreneur and you want to partner on something, like, you know that, you know, there was factors in that as to why you guys wouldn't do it, but it is still a great deal, right? So it just because two entrepreneurs don't do business the same way, like how can you come together and make something creative? And right. I think a lot of people, they're very tunnel vision in that sense, and they don't do creative deal making because they think, you know, there is only an ABC option. or an A option, not even ABC, right? And how do we come up with those other options where both parties benefit? That's now someone walking around speaking very well about you and you speaking very well about them. That's relationship capital. You know, like people need to see things, not just from the tunnel. Where else can we expand?
Right. So I think that that is, you know, I think that's just something that that is my tip of the week. Be situationally aware, read the room, know how to treat people, because it will end up getting you a lot further. And I will also say there are scenarios sometimes where it doesn't matter like how mad you are at someone or frustrated, or you may think like this person's a complete idiot and they just don't understand what's going on. You need to know who they are in the situation, and sometimes just be nice, even though you don't want to be in some situations. So that is my tip of the week. And with that, I think it is a wrap for our highly anticipated and long awaited, slightly extended version of this week's Power Suit podcast. Make sure you are sharing this with friends. Leave us a review. Like I always say, if it's not 5 stars, you can send it to Daryl because we don't want to see it. But also give us feedback. We're, you can always DM either of us on Instagram and give us feedback, or let us know if there's a topic you want us to discuss and we'll discuss it.
Yes. Send us a message if we have feedback and comments, so then we can call you out or not call you out.
Not call you out, but respond to you.
Yeah. Mention your name.
Yeah. All right. So thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you next week on next week's episode of the Power Suits podcast.